As well as economic considerations. So that's in a nutshell guides our approach in dealing with these matters. How do we deal with these matters? I've indicated that there is a vetting process that is done. We have this committee called the Scrutiny Committee, which is chaired by the Secretary of Defense. And they are members from the Defense Force, including military intelligence. It includes state security, in particular our Secret Service, Department of Trade and Industry, to look in terms of trade, all those economic matters. We also have international relations and cooperation amongst the... So, for example, if... we suspect that a particular region is not so much stable. So we get a report of terms of assessment by DIRCO and also from our Secret Service, a detailed report as to what is happening, even issues of a diversion. So there's a very good study there in military intelligence as well as our Secret Service that works abroad. So those are matters that we take into consideration before we can be able. So if, for example, the question that was posed, there is a change of ownership, so they are obliged in terms of the act to report to us so that we satisfied ourselves that whole process of vetting before we can be able to authorize even if these change in terms of the conditions of the contract that was given, ask them to come back to us. So there are many instances where we had to not approve any authorization where we believe that things are not done in a proper manner. So there is a rigorous process. I've already indicated as well that we have the inspectorate. The inspectorate at any time can go unannounced to any company to check documentation if there's any deviation. Then they report to us, then we take decisions. Now, for example, there are a lot of investigations by the police in some of the companies that are involved in arms transfer. But I must emphasize again that there is a lack of capacity, not a lack of capacity, there's not adequate capacity in the NPA to follow some of the recommendations that we made. It could be a function, perhaps, that sometimes it's not part of their priorities. So maybe the committee sometimes must summon both the NPA and the SAPS so that they can explain to yourselves how far have they gone with the investigations, the prosecutions of all the matters that were brought to their attention. We have, as a committee ourselves, summons the NPA so that they can explain, including the SAPS. So in the end, I want to assure you that we meet every month as a committee. We are very meticulous in scrutinizing each and every application. So if there is any doubt, we do not authorize or put an application on hold until we get a proper assessment from all those agencies that have highlighted. So I don't know if the Deputy Minister may have.
Sir, thank you very much, Minister. Before you take the second one, I heard the Minister mentioning the question of investigations that are carrying on or that have been done by police. Maybe if the Minister can take us into confidence as to say how many cases maybe, if he has knowledge of those cases that have been investigated by police currently. Thank you.
I don't have the figures with me now, but I can write to you to indicate all the matters that were brought to the attention of the police and the NPA. So we have those details.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Honorable Marais.
Minister, thank you very much. Another problem that is faced, and that is maybe not a direct result of your committee's involvement, but I think it's a reality, and that is that you often read and you pick up reports where there's been weapons that disappear, if I can use that phrase, from the Defence Force. Even when it's been stolen, we know about many, many cases. We also know about weapons that was intended to be destroyed and maybe do not end up to be destroyed, which can find their way to war zones or to other conflict areas, or even possibly been stockpiled against us, ourselves, our country. Now, obviously, that's not a matter of permits and things like that, and applications. But it's a result where our weapons and arms end up in a conflict situation, and it's a reality that we have to face with. how do we deal with that? Have you received many cases in that regard? And how has that been dealt with?
The Honorable Minister.
Well, it's not our job as this committee to police the defense and so on, but on issues that where we have played a role in authorizing. If, for example, the inspectorate makes a recommendation that particular weapons have to be destroyed, we actually physically go there, the inspectorate, to see that they've been physically destroyed. I myself have participated in that outside Pretoria where I saw the dismantling of those weapons. But your principal question does not fall within us. So it has to be the police and the defense if there's such allegations that are being made. But I do know that also TUI AMSCO from the Defense Force also does that in terms of destroying the equipment that belongs to the South African National Defense Force, but they also sometimes apply to us the MP authorization. But in terms of policing what happens, that's not our mandate. Our mandate is to authorize the transfer of arms from South Africa.
Thank you very much, Honorable Whip.
Thanks, Chair. Just as a matter of interest, I'm happy with the presentation. But are we making some inroads or improvement in importing and exporting, firstly in SADC and in Africa, as part of our foreign policy? Are we comfortable with the relationships in terms of this committee? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kanate. Over to you, Honorable Minister.
Well, I don't have the statistics with me now, but we don't have a lot of authorization to SADC except on very limited amount where we authorize maybe the SAPS, the small arms for hunting and stuff like that. But it's not much. But we do have some applications that come, but it's not like your big orders. It's not like your big orders.
Honorable Boss.
So, how do we help with marketing? Because you say it does have to make some economic contribution. The country. Does NCACC market itself to those countries around the world? Now, not much work has been done to register those countries that invest into South Africa.
No, we don't do marketing as the NCACC. Our job is stipulated in the act where we just do authorization. So I think the responsibility is in those companies that want to trade in arms. So that's why even before they even embark on that marketing exercise, they get our authorization first to be on our register. So they have very layers, and then they ask for a marketing permit, later a contracting permit, stuff like that. It's a very rigorous process. So we don't trade in arms. it's the private sector that does that. It is Denel that does that. So we are also very harsh against all of them, whether it's private or state. For example, I recall Deputy Minister Enders was there. We had even to summon the CEO and chairman of Denel to explain certain things, as well as AMSCO. And we also deny them a lot of permit where we are not satisfied that we are doing the right thing. That's why we're called a cabinet committee sui generis.
If there are no other questions, honorable members, can we release the minister and his delegation so that we can continue with our business? Thank you very much, honorable minister, and thank you to your team. Thank you. Honorable members, you can help yourself. There is breakfast.
Honorable members,
how are you? I'm good. Thank you.
So it's not related to today's meeting, but if you want to go through it, like the two issues, and maybe if you want to see one unit and you want to visit, you can always go there.
That would be much easier because there is something.
All the places around Cape Town. But it's for your.
Only.
Yeah, around Cape Town. That's for your
career. You so okay.
Hello. Yes, please.
Honorable members, let's continue. Let's
continue with our business. Honorable Mr. Chupi, we are continuing with the meeting. Can you switch off that phone? Let's continue with our agenda, honorable member. We'll wait for you to switch it off, Chief. Thank you. Our second item, honorable members, it's a letter from the president. I'll request the committee secretary, and I hope members do have the copies of that letter. The secretary will read the letter for us.
Thank you, Chair. Employment of members of the South African National Defence Force in cooperation with the South African Police Service. This serves to inform that the National House, there is one for NA, but I just printed this one. National Council of Provinces, that I have authorized the employment of 441 members of the South African National Defence Force for service in cooperation with members of the South African Police Service during the operation of Parliament in Cape Town. I mean, during the opening of Parliament in Cape Town. Members of the SANDF employed will be assisting the SAPS to maintain law and order during the opening of Parliament. This employment is authorized in accordance with the provisions of Section 201(2)(a) of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996. The employment is for the period of the 5th February and up to the 10th of February 2017. The total expenditure expected to be incurred for the employment is 204,153,000. I will communicate this report to members of the National Assembly and wish to request that you bring the contents thereof to the attention of the National Council of Provinces.
Thank you very much, Secretary of the Committee. Here is the letter, honorable members. The President has written a letter to Parliament as per the Constitution. Do you want to comment on it, honorable Mara?
Chairperson, Chair, comment and maybe pose a question whether you have got more information. If I understand the Constitution correctly, is that the President must inform Parliament via the relevant committee, which is ours. And if Parliament is not in session, or committees are not in session, then he obviously do, and then inform us via writing. My first question is, we were in committee period at the time when it seems like the President made the decision. I was just wondering why the committee has not been informed at that stage, because clearly we were, per definition, in session, the committee. I mean, we were in committee period when that happened, so the committee could have been called together and say, here's the situation, etc. So that's my first question. And then secondly, whether you are aware, or if the President has given indication, the reason for those additional Defence Force members over and above the ceremonial Defence Force that has always taken place, which nobody's got a problem with. And then lastly, whether indications has been given, because it seems like there's a contradiction between what the Minister of Defence has said, what the Speaker has said on the deployment, and then what actually happened on the day. And I know that the Speaker has indicated that, and even the Minister, that an investigation will be launched. But I was just wondering, you know, in this committee, whether there's any information available on those things that seems to be in contradiction with each other, what happened. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mare, Honorable Boy, and Honorable Mr. Shubin.
Now, I wanted to find out, can we work out the process, either the minister comes and gives us a total explanation of what happened, rather than putting a chair on the court, because he is facilitating the letter. So, can we get someone who should really come and account for it? Well, you see, there's been always been an outstanding process where the letters arrive at the stage where everything is taken place. I don't know if it's the speaker or whoever, can somebody come and give an account before you get yourself twinkled up in this whole thing, because it seems to be sensitive.
Thank you very much, Honorable Boy. I was going to say to Honorable Marais, no, I don't have information. The relevant authority, what we normally do, because I know that for interest sake, we have been battling with this thing of letters coming late to committees. But the normal process is that the President will inform Parliament, and that's what I'm doing, you know, to say the letter dated the 2nd of February was received by the Speaker and the Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces. Hence, it lends to our committee, but the details of the operational matters, no, I can't answer to that. But thank you very much, Honorable Boy. I think we'll do exactly that. Thank you. Thank you. Honorable Gamete.
I'm not disputing this view, but Chair, in terms of procedure, the President writes to Parliament, which is the Speaker and the Chair of the NCOP, and then those offices write to the Chair, to the relevant Chair. So it would be those offices where we could get the information from, that they got this letter and then they forwarded this letter on such and such a day. I think those would be the appropriate people to check.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kamet. I think I've just explained the same thing, that as the chairs of the co-chairs of the committee, we can't have more details in terms of operational matters. We rely on receiving letters from the Speaker and the Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces. But then we'll look into the matter as suggested by Honorable Boy. Thank you very much. The next item, there was Honorable Boy, before
so
you continue.
Chair, you'll engage the necessary offices and call a particular meeting so that you can give me the letter before we adopt it, get all clarity on what happened in the meeting. Or should we adopt it first and then get the total details? I'm just looking at the
procedure. You are correct, Comrade Boy. But let me hear Honorable Issa.
Thank you. Honorable Chair, my view would be that this is a fait accompli. It happened. On the second, it was signed. the operation start from the 5th to the 10th. We are past that date. So it's a formality of the letter being adopted or accepted here. The consequence is the actual happenings, the operations, which if the Defence Force members are called in to assist, we can then ask the Minister then or the Secretary of Defence then to explain what exactly happened in terms of the implementation. But I think from the latest point of view, it's finished. We can't reverse that at all.
I was going to say that when it comes to the letter, as members of the Joint Standing Committee, we have received the letter. It has landed to us according to the procedure. You know, ours is to adopt it, and then we'll deal with other matters that are sensitive, where as a committee we need to be involved and call those relevant people who do have a right to do that on operational matters. Are you moving, Honorable Kamete, for the adoption?
I'm seconding.
No, let's start. This will cause confusion. Let's get a move for the adoption.
I moved there. I thought Honorable Lisa was moving. I moved there.
Let's get the second. Thank you, honorable members. Let's go to the issue of our tour. Let's get a report in terms of that, honorable members, from our committee secretary. How far are we with this issue?
Thanks, Chair. The study tour was not approved this financial year, and then both house chairs said they will look at the finances next year, so we are busy with the drafting another application for April due to the fact that NCOP program and NA, they don't sort of complement each other, so the only possible time to go on a study tour will be during the constituency. So it might be on the second week of April if things go well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. That's the report in terms of our study tour. And I hope members still remember that we're supposed to have gone to Algeria. We chose Algeria or Cuba, isn't it? Yeah. So we are still awaiting them. But Cuba was the one that was seconded. Yeah, we agreed as the committee that we'll take Cuba. So we'll await for parliamentary processes in terms of approval. Honorable Murray.
Chairperson, that's also affected the complaint now, but I just want to know, I mean, our processes, do we, obviously the budget under which we apply, is that's Parliament's budget. So that's not a committee per se budget. So in other words, you know, depending on their priorities and depending on what money they have got in terms of what they decided on, then they will allow certain committees to either do study tours or not. Am I correct? So in other words, it's to do with other priorities that had preference over ours, and that's why it's been moved to the next financial year. Am I correct in that regard?
Committees usually do application, and the chair of committees take an assessment of how many committees have now applied, and then go to the presiding officer to take the final decision. So the presiding officers are now coming back to say the story that she's explaining is then the decision is made. It's been a very struggling process. the person who sent run is the chair of committee. He's the man who makes many decisions that are related to committee work, you see, even before it arrives at the higher level. And budgeting of committee, while his committee has never like traveled for a very long time, but still the decision goes to him for being able to make that decision.
Can I make a suggestion that we pass funds for the scheme that we don't go into funding so that we use that money to give us the materials?
He's throwing it through the window, Honorable Morris. Honorable, don't say you'll follow Honorable Kamete. Are you still on the same matter? Thank you.
Honorable Chair, I think because we are not actually in recess, when we are in constituency, it means that we still have to do our work. And the last week of March is still oversight. And I think some of our committees will be actually continuing right through up to the 29th of March with committee work, with the portfolio. But it's also open for oversight. So the entire period from the 1st of April until the 21st is actually constituency, which means we actually on duty. If it's possible, and arrangements can be made, because from our party side, we still have to lodge the application for approval with our vocally and also for the party. So it puts all of us under pressure to organize our lives because there are so many procedures and processes to follow. So it would be highly appreciated if we could get some confirmation early, and if that the constituency period, it would not affect then the EBCs, which will go into budget discussions in April, May, and even part of June, when we finish the budget. So if it falls in any of those things, then it's not possible for any of us to travel. I would urge the committee secretary and the research group, if it's possible, that the arrangements can be made during the period, the earlier the better. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Professor, for raising that. Honorable Kamel.
Chair, it's just a pity that the reasons for the disapproval have not been advanced. Because, honestly speaking, according to the program of Parliament, from the 21st of March to the 31st of March, this committee is an oversight. So it's dedicated to that, to oversight. When we didn't go out in January, we thought we'd do the oversight in March. It will be difficult without the other members saying from their party. Constituency period is just constituency period. We're taking a very big gamble. With that, the chances are we might not succeed, but we need to be realistic and honest. If reasons can be agreed, I know committees are going. Honorable Boyce maybe said maybe a number of committees have gone, are going. But I know committees are going during that week. They've been told, I know JSCI is going to two countries. Just from the 21st to the 31st. So I think if you could be finished with the reason. Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much. Unfortunately, the co-chair is not here, but we wanted to have a meeting with the chair of chairs regarding this matter. I hope next week we'll assist the committee secretary to push for the dates that we are talking about, because we have never been in any study tour, you know. I know for a fact that in the previous parliament the same thing happened, you know. So we can't leave it like that, even this time around, you know. But we'll engage. We'll give feedback to honorable members. Thank you. Let's move to the program. Are all honorable members having the program?
Where is yours, Honorable?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. okay. Yeah, you can come in, Honorable, listen.
Yeah, I see there's only four meetings that can possibly be scheduled here. I'm looking at also the request by the Minister of Defense about the visit to Goma. Is that still going to take place with certain members or with the entire committee? Because it's actually a joint standing committee that they asked me to actually participate or accompany them.
We were supposed to have gone around January, you know, and we were not informed of anything, unfortunately. But we can make a follow-up around that one also, if that's okay with the honorable members. We'll make a follow-up with the department to find out if are we still going to visit the DRC and check our men and women in uniform. Honorable Maris.
Chairperson, just in terms of the program, there's been two Fridays set aside basically for with regards to the defense review. And the one is Treasury and the other one is the task team. I don't know if it's been part of what they will present to us, but I think what we have identified in the past is that there's not nearly enough money to give any justification to not even, you know, the first milestone of the defense review. So, I mean, Treasury must not just come and brief us on simple requirements of implementation. If we can't talk about money, because I mean, otherwise you put the cart before the horse. Because if they tell us, if they come and tell us, listen, there's no money, then we know there's no money. So, are there any programs, any processes? So in other words, I just want to be in a constructive way, because you know we all say the defense review is a fantastic document. We all say that is what we need to do. But if it's from year to year that the Treasury will tell us, oh, we're just going to cut you, if you don't going to provide for the defense review, then they must come and rather be honest and tell us, listen, you have to totally change that. And also the task team, so that we can, that it's not just hypothetical or academical presentations, and that we find ourselves in a situation that it cannot be implemented because there are no resources, so that we can really try to move forward with regards to the implementation of the defense review. Thank you.
Thank you for that point, Honorable Murray. I think the Honorable Member is raising a very critical point, because when we adopted the defense review, Treasury made a commitment to say they do have a budget that can assist at least with milestone one, you know. There was that commitment. So we are correct, but we can't preempt as to what is it that can we have order, Chief? Can we have order? What I think should happen is that maybe we can ask them to give us their presentation before they even come to the committee, so that we are able to go through it. If it's academical, it doesn't assist the process, then there won't be a need for them to come. We know that there is no money, but a commitment was made, you know, in years ago, you know. Honorable Boy.
I think
you know, if we are going to discuss the progress of this nature, then we can spend almost the whole day here, because we will then begin to speculate, and everybody has his or her own view on matters that would be raised on that particular day. But then we should be asking ourselves, what is it that we want to achieve by calling them to the meeting? Because that must guide the presentation that they will be doing. I think that is very important, rather than preempting what they will present.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Chupin. Honorable Boy.
Yes. Also, there's nothing wrong subjectively to say what is the purpose of the invitation. That's what you do, so that they will give guidance to the chairperson of your invitation. That is what is collective wisdom. There's nothing wrong to say that, so that when we arrive and he goes and engages Treasury and he writes his letters, he says, there's an expectation in the committee. Any other South African would be knowing that Treasury is under pressure. They are presenting a budget next week. We still have expectations. And they've been saying many times that Defense Force has been reporting to all of us that they are not giving them the money. So what we are saying is that given the commitment that we have constitutionally for being able to give this support, get more clarity so that when they come here, it's not a meeting of looking in your faces. If they don't have money, let them say it upfront to you. Then we can be able to take up the battle. That's the point. And I really support you, that chairperson, do your job to the last. Get clarity. The program is standing on this particular day, will be available, but get more clarity that what is it they can be able to present to us. But they are sending officials, it's not the minister that is going to come. And what will be the purpose? It's not even the DG that comes who does the shuffling around. It's a particular official, junior in the department, and he's going to be telling us the same rhetoric. That's the point.
Thank you very much, Honorable Boy. Honorable Sir.
Yeah, I want to support the chair in that view, that because this department is expected to cut back 1 billion, the milestone one costs 1.6 billion in the first instance that we need to get. And as to cut back 1 billion, there's litigation against this defense which is now costing them 1 billion, besides other cases. So, and then also to just develop the one mill upgraded is going to cost 1 billion. So we must be clear on those that we have our agenda that we want to achieve. We want money.
Can we have order, Honorable Members?
I support your view on the matter.
Thank you very much. Honorable Musa Shupin, whoever that you are SMSing to say you don't want us to preempt in this committee. No, we know. As this joint standing committee, I think we are a very good team, I must say, Honorable Members, because we can't be listening to the department every year saying there's no budget. And we can see when we do oversight that really there's no support, you know. And we've got men and women in uniform, you know, who needs to service the country, you know. So we will write a letter so that if they come, they must be clear. Actually, they must respond, Committee Secretary, to say this is what we will be presenting, you know, before that date, so that we're able to take a decision as coaches as to whether we allow them or we don't. Like Honorable Boy was saying, they'll be sending officials and they won't be helping us, you know. At a certain point, you need to call Minister Pravin, you know, and the Minister of Defense. Thank you, Honorable Marais. We are all concerned about the safety of our people, you know. Yes. I think the last item, Honorable Members, will be the adoption of minutes. And one other thing, maybe before the minutes, Sisboy, how far are we with the honorable members? There are those honorable members who wish to go and attend on Tuesday, the Armed Forces Day in Durban. There was an SMS sent by the committee secretary that members should forward their IDs and all of that, so that there won't be any problem in terms of accommodation and accreditation in Durban.
Do we know if any commitment has been given by the chair of the committees?
Yeah, because we have to come back the same day too.
Okay. First, the applications currently there at the NA is still with the House Chair's office. And then NCOP is with the Chief Whip's office. We are still just waiting for them to finalize the process, but we cannot just wait without knowing the exact number of members. We still ask members to bring their or fill up the forms so that we know exactly the exact number. As soon as the processes are done, we will just inform members, immediately get flights and all the details. But we have to slip over on Monday because we don't know these forms, whether they are going to assist us. But the accreditation will start from 6 to 9 on Tuesday. So these forms might assist us so that members don't wake up very early. But by 9 o'clock, everybody should be seated at that event. Thanks,
Chair. Thank you very much, Committee Secretary. Let's fill those forms, those that are in a position to attend the event, and submit them to the Secretary of the Committee in time. We've got only today. By the end of business day, we will be knowing what will be happening. Honorable Boy.
After all the concern has been expressed about the program, can you adopt the program, Chairperson?
Let's adopt the program. Thank you. Honorable Boy. There is a mover. There are two seconders. Honorable Boy says thank you. So the program has been adopted. I don't think... Where are the minutes? Thank you. Here are the minutes in front of us, honorable members. Honorable Issa.
Before we adopt the minute, I'll share that's just the four errors that we just need to correct. That is page one under venue. Members, apostrophe after the S, not before the S.
Oh, okay.
Second page.
The spelling error.
The spelling 2.2 under committee program.
Okay.
Line 3. We just need to say that to cut costs, we don't have to add down, so we can remove down.
Oh,
and under matters arising 2.3, the sentence right at the second last sentence or third last sentence, hopefully, not hopeful, but just add the L-Y, hopefully, that by Friday. 9th of December, and then under 4 there's a 2, I don't know what is that 2, oh that's a page 2.
Page 2.
The last paragraph, I think there's just a mix-up between the two co-chairs. One should be Otamele and the other is Mlambo. And it must just be, either one must be changed, because it's both was the chair. Both things, but it has to be two different names. This is actually changing. That's from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. for those corrections. Honorable Boy?
I was going to say the matter on invitation to accompany the Minister of Home will continue as a matter arising. Remember we discussed it before.
Before, yes.
Now it's clear it's minute that we're going to have more interest about
it. Okay. Sure. Thank you, Honorable Members, for those corrections. Can we adopt as corrected the minutes? We have a mover, Honorable Boy. We've got a seconder, Honorable Gamete. Thank you very much. Honorable members, without much ado, let me thank you for coming into this meeting and honoring it. Can we adjourn the meeting? Thank you very much.
Sure.
Have a nice weekend.
You too.
Why is